the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hi, guys. Happy Pledge Drive Eve.
Oh, Pledge Drive Eve.
Oh, there you go. Get it all started. You bet.
Start singing my carols.
We got three days of fun coming up, and I know everyone's going to enjoy that for 3 hours each day.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of great guests are going to be in studio with joining us, a lot of cheerleaders for Catholic Community Media. I really look forward to this. We have a good time. But at the same time, we're asking you for your support. We'll get into that later, though. Right, Gabby?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We'll begin with a prayer. How's
that? There you go.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Casimir and all the saints, in your mercy, grant us health and peace, that after all adversity and error is removed, your church may serve you in freedom and safety through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the union of the Holy Spirit, one world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We have a wonderful lineup for you today. Starting off, Blaine Braddock joins us. She is with the University of Holy Cross spokesperson, and she's talking about their upcoming crawfish cook-off. So we're going to be talking about this wonderful annual event we talk about every year, and it's so widely attended. Blaine is going to be giving us those details about the event coming up. In 18 minutes, Lonnie Thibodeau joins us. He is the Director of Media and Public Relations of the Diocese of Houma-Thibodeau. He'll be giving us an update of what they are up to for the month of March. In 35 minutes, Alan Migliorato joins us. He's a co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And he's actually written a new book that he will talk to us about that we're looking forward to. It's a cute, wonderful little children's book. Looking forward to hearing a little bit more about the adventures of Bunny and Bear today. That's what it's about. And you guys stay tuned because I want to get to know how Alan... What went through his mind when he wrote this book? Because this is not something that I would have expected him to write, but it is absolutely adorable and cute and perfect for this Easter. So looking forward to hearing from Alan today. And in 48 minutes, Eustace Wolfington joins us. He is one of the executive producers of the Cabrini movie. We'll dive into that wonderful movie and how he got started with it and a little behind the scenes. So looking forward to today's guests. And Damian, looking forward to your weather report. I know it's going to rain, but I'm still looking forward to it. So what do we have today?
You might be one of the few, but that's okay. It's going to be cloudy and foggy, actually, as you leave the house this morning. So be careful, especially along the coastal areas. In the meantime, we'll see thunderstorms and gusty winds start to develop and pop up in our area around lunchtime. So carry that umbrella with you, because maybe when you leave the restaurant after lunch, you may be getting wet. So you want to kind of prepare for that. 90% chance of rain in the forecast. And the high is going to be 75. Winds gusty, blowing at about 10 to 15 miles an hour, maybe some small hail as well. Tomorrow, pretty much the same forecast. The high is going to be 77, so a couple of degrees warmer, but the winds will continue to blow out of the southeast and continue to bring out the rain over our area. So for the next 24 hours or so, beginning around noon, all the way to the following day, we're going to have rain. Wednesday, that's when we'll see the sunshine again. Temperatures in and around the area, 67 degrees in Biloxi, Covington, and New Orleans, 69 in Houma-Thibodeau, and 68 degrees in Baton Rouge. It's 5 after. Stick around. We've got your gospel coming your way on Wake Up.
Good Monday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from Luke chapter 4. Jesus said to the people in the synagogue at Nazareth, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Right now, we are joined by Blaine Braddock. She's with the University of Holy Cross. We're going to talk about the third annual Crawfish Cook-Off. Good morning, Blaine.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Okay, the first question that comes to mind, and probably what comes to everybody's mind, is where'd the crawfish come from? We can't find them anywhere.
Well, the good thing is that all of our vendors, all of our teams are going to be purchasing their crawfish from one very generous vendor, which is Johnny's Seafood. They're an alum of the university, and so we do hope that we get all the right weather fixings that we need for this upcoming week to get those crawfish prices to be a little more, ready to go.
Yeah. This is pretty exciting, because the next question I had is, for the general public, what's the admission? Because this may be our only chance to eat crawfish this year.
Exactly. So we have $25 advance tickets. So this is such a great discount to have if you haven't had your crawfish yet. But it will be $30 at the gate. So that's still a steal.
Okay. So this is 3 years old. How did it all begin?
Well, the university has actually had a crawfish-style event for many, many years, mm-hmm. But it turned into a crawfish cook-off to raise funds for student support.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful opportunity to get on campus, see our beautiful oak trees and on the West Bank of New Orleans and Algiers.
Okay. So how many teams do you normally have that are involved?
We've had up to about 20 teams or so. This year we're approaching, about the 12 to 15. So we definitely want grab your neighbors, church groups, coworkers, you guys at the radio station. We'd love to have you as a team. This is a wonderful opportunity to get out there and show off those culinary category skills.
It does sound like a lot of fun. Damien, I have my own recipe. Do you have one?
I don't have one. I don't ball crawfish.
Oh, okay.
I just eat them.
I have my own recipe. And it's one of those, when you go everywhere else and you eat crawfish, you say it's good, but it ain't mine. Uh-huh. That's
nobody has that problem with my house.
Okay. So what are the rules for these teams, Blaine?
Well, we do have a first, second, and third place for best overall crawfish, as well as best potato, corn, and sausage.
Oh, wow.
And also, I wanted to mention that we do have King of Crawfish himself, Al Scaramuzza, and other celebrity media judges that will be out there that weekend. It's going to be this Saturday, March 9th.
This Saturday,
yeah.
March the 9th. And at what time is it going to be?
Seafood City.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah. I love it.
What time of day is it going to be?
Yes, our gates are going to open up at 11 a.m., and we're going to wrap everything up at 3 p.m. Also, kids are also ages 10 and under are going to eat for free.
Oh.
And we do have a kid zone where we have $5 wristbands, and the kid zone is going to have obstacle courses, inflatables, as well as a rock climbing wall.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Cool. And that is all this weekend.
So do you have judges? Because Dave may want to volunteer, if nothing else.
Oh, boy, huh?
We'd love to have you, but we do have, Al Scaramuzza was with us last year. He'll be out there again this year, and we do have some celebrity media judges, too. So we would love to have you guys.
I'll enroll next year. I don't want to shove my foot in the door, but that may be my only chance to eat crawfish as well. So how big can my team be?
Well, I think it could be as large of a group as you want to bring.
Oh, wow.
Our team. Okay. Yeah, if you sign up to be a team on our out there. It's going to be a great event. So it's $125 to be a team, and you get five team members with wristbands.
Oh, fantastic. That is great. And then I can cheerleaders and everybody
else. How many pounds of crawfish are they boiling? Are they boiling for a certain amount of time? Because that has some bearing on it as well.
Well, we're wanting to do six sacks, all from Johnny Seafood, mm-hmm. and that's the goal, and it's going to be wonderful out there.
Good. It sure
six
is.
Sacks, crawfish, it's team, sure. That's good.
There you go. But so before I let you go, once again, that's going to be this Saturday, right, at the Holy Cross campus, and it's going to be at what time of day again? Starting? What time should I get?
11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Wonderful. Now, where can we go to get some more information on this? Because there's some details probably that we want to look up.
Yes. Please go to uhcno.edu/crawfish. And this is where you're going to buy your discounted tickets for all you can eat, $25 in advance online, wow. $30 at the gate. You can become a sponsor. Our presenting sponsor is Gulf Coast Bank. And you can also put in a team for those culinary categories to win the bragging rights to be mm-hmm. the university's king or queen of crawfish, all on our website.
How cool would that be? Okay. Well, thank you, Blaine. Appreciate you joining us. This sounds like a lot of fun. And I hope you get a big turnout. I bet you do.
Hope so. Thanks so much.
All right. I'm thinking cool. This may be very a lot nice. Of folks' only chance to eat a crawfish. Look, at $25, yeah. I don't think you're going to get it that cheap anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I don't know how all that works, but the website will definitely give you the info.
Yeah.
Speaking of food, don't forget the Count Your Blessing Parade, Soup Parade. If you want your tickets for that, Chef John Foles' creamy potato and shrimp soup is going to be available in frozen 2-pound bags. You can get that online at the St. Vincent de Paul website, and just go to svdpbr.com or .org, I should say, .org, and that's where you can find that. That's coming up March 15th.
March 15th.
Yeah.
And that is good. That's
fun. Good, too. That's in
Baton
Rouge.
I really enjoy doing that.
Getting up your soup at Our Lady of Mercy.
Yeah. It's a good deal.
Yeah. And don't forget, we do have these wonderful events, but our spring pledge drive starts tomorrow at 7 a.m., 7 to 10. We have wonderful guests over the phone and in studio, runs Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week. This is where we come to you asking for your help to keep us on the air. Here are some of our guests. If you're watching us right now, you'll catch later this week. Support us starting tomorrow at 7 a.m.
Yes, indeed.
Good lineup.
Yes, indeed. All right. Mm-hmm. We come back. We're going to be talking to Lonnie Thibodeau from the Houma Diocese. It's 15 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 4th. Today we celebrate Saint Casimir. Parents who know what it's like to deal with headstrong children who will not budge once they make up their minds will see something familiar in today's saint. Though Casimir lived in Poland more than 500 years ago. By the age of 15, he was a conscientious objector, and no amount of persuasion by his father, the King of Poland, would convince the young prince to ever take up arms against any of his nation's enemies. It wasn't only the war that Casimir found distasteful. He apparently had no interest in succeeding his father as king. He much preferred to spend his time helping the poor and the imprisoned. He never failed to remind his father of any injustices or any needs that weren't being met. He himself lived simply, gave away most of his possessions to the poor, and devoted hours to prayer and study. He spent many hours each day in church. Despite pressure to marry the emperor's daughter, Casimir chose to remain celibate. Casimir died of tuberculosis in 1483 at age 23. He's the patron saint of Poland and Lithuania. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It's almost 20 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. And right now, we are once again joined by Lonnie Thibodeau. He's the Director of Media and Public Relations of the Houma Thibodeau Diocese. Good morning, Lonnie.
Good morning, everyone.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You got another chock-a-block issue for us today. Uh-huh. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about first off is you're going to be previewing the upcoming Chrism Mass. That's one of my favorites, mm-hmm. because of all the priests who show up to those. And where is this taking place? Which cathedral?
We're going to be doing it at St. Francis Cathedral in Houma. Mm-hmm. It'll be 10 a.m. on Holy Thursday, which is March 28th. And you're right, Dave. The really many awesome aspects of the Chrism Mass, but one of which is for good Catholics out there, if you want to attend a liturgy during the year in which you get all of our priests, of course, process in, and it's such a beautiful thing to watch them all come in. Mm-hmm. And of course, both the good and the bad of what we've had transpire in our diocese of installing a bishop and, unfortunately, the funeral of a bishop, right. We had that scenario where you've got all your priests processing in. So here's a good reason for all of our priests to process in together as a brethren, as a group, as a brotherhood. So that'll be coming up on Thursday, March 28th at St. Francis in Houma, 10 a.m.
How beautiful is that, where they're all going to be able to get together? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure they did for the funeral, but this is for a better thing. Now, the Chrism Mass, let's explain that really quickly, what goes on there, Lonnie. This is where they're blessing the oils that are to be distributed throughout the whole diocese, right?
Correct. They're all up there, and what they do is, the holy oils and holy water, or the holy chrism, and what they do is part of the liturgy is you have representatives from all 39 of your church parishes there that actually walk up, and the bishop will hand them their oils, to be used for the upcoming year for baptizing and the other purposes, during the year. So it's a beautiful, beautiful liturgy for people maybe who have never attended before.
It's one of the most beautiful. And then it's also the beginning of the Triduum, which is in itself another story. But I'm sure it's going to be wonderful in all the parishes. Okay, so let's go move on to the kickoff for the annual Bishop's Appeal. Talk about that.
Yeah, that's going on right now. Again, we've got, that tragic, sad situation where, here we begin a bishop's appeal, and incredibly enough, just for various circumstances, this is the third year in a row we begin our bishop's appeal essentially without a bishop.
Yeah.
Just because of, the tragic loss of Bishop Dorsonville. But it has started. We have $1 million goal, and we have been very successful in recent years. And this year, they're honoring Bishop Dorsonville's wishes. He made a very slight change in terms of the funds, where the funds will go.
Okay.
30% raise will go to our seminarians, 25% to our retired priests, 20% to our Catholic schools. And here's the new part, 8% of those funds raised will go to collegiate ministry, specifically at Nicholls State, and 17% to formation ministries, mostly ethnic, our ethnic ministries. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of a change this year. So again, we're honoring his wishes. That's what we're doing, and the kickoff was actually last weekend. So we're ready to roll to hopefully hit that $1 million goal.
And I see that trend here. I see what he's doing. It's more of an, if you contribute, you're investing, and you're investing in future vocations. It pretty much sounds like, right? Yeah. Beautiful, which is such a need everywhere. Okay, and then you have the bishop's obituary and final column. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Yeah, the Lenten issue, the Bi-Catholic, just came out just over a week ago, and in there, obviously, the team was planning and putting this together, and then tragically, our bishop died. So now you have to stop and kind of reconfigure the which they did. They did a beautiful job of it, and the actual formal final obituaries on page 5 in the magazine. You can read it there, and if you flip the page, going over to pages 6 and 7. It's his final column, and I know, Gabby, and over the last few years when we'll have these talks about our monthly issue of the Bi Catholic, we say, what's in the bishop's column?
Exactly.
What did he talk about? Well, this is literally the last column he wrote, and let me read you the very first sentence written by him. We typically associate the season of Lent with darkness and difficulty. Oh,
my goodness.
God.
Yep.
Those were his words.
My goodness.
Absolutely unbelievable. And as you read through this column, it's called The Power of Sacrifice. He talks about, suffering, Jesus' presence amidst suffering, and it takes on a whole new meaning in Lent. And then the very final sentence he wrote was, May this holy season be an opportunity for all of us to stand with Jesus in his suffering and let that suffering bring redemption and love to our parishes, our families, and our own lives.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And that was it. The wow. final sentence he wrote in his very final column.
My goodness.
What a man he was. He was tremendous.
Yeah,
well, and it looks like from what else you have in here, we're going to talk about that. This is quite the keepsake of an issue, right? This is something you're going to want to hang on to. Then you're talking about the other folks that are, they have recollections and reflections from Father Simon Peter and from Father Patrick. I always say his name wrong. But talk about that.
Yeah, it's on pages 10 and 11. It's basically just a letter from or a message from each of them. Of course, Father Simon Peter, now our diocesan administrator, Father Patrick Riviere, who is the priest secretary. So he was with Bishop Dorsetville, you know, till the very end. And just beautiful letters, both of them, you know, that, and again, Father Simon Peter, the words he kept saying, we've heard this over and over again for the last month and a half. May we therefore be reminded that we grieve because we love.
Yes.
That's why we grieve.
Right.
Yeah, that's why we grieve. Yeah. We go to a funeral because we love that person, and he keeps reminding us of those beautiful, beautiful words. And in the final sentence that Father Patrick wrote in his column is, you know, it's not about grand programs, but about preaching Jesus, and loving the person in front of us. Mm-hmm. And that is the transformative legacy that Bishop Dorsetville leaves behind. And he did. He touched every life that, you know, and he was just amazing. Well,
go ahead, Gabby.
And Lonnie, I know we've spoken to you a few times since Bishop Dorsetville's passing, but do you have any updates of kind of where things are right now? If you don't have anything, I know things are kind of probably chaotic still at the moment, but do you have an update of where things are?
Yeah, sure. You know, we do have, of course, you know, as soon as he died, we had a certain amount of time in which to elect the diocesan administrator, which the College of Consultors did in electing Father Simon Peter Engelreit. So Father Simon Peter will serve as our diocesan administrator until the Holy Father names a bishop. Now, again, how long is that going to take? That is the magic question that, you know, it took 1 year. It took exactly 1 year the last time. You know, people are curious right now. I think there are seven or maybe eight. I think eight bishop vacancies in the United States right now.
Goodness.
And I think the oldest one goes back to like June. There's a couple from June of last year, August of last year. So there are seven others along with us that are still vacant. Does that mean they're going to be picked before us? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know that. But the scariest part of all is we tend to think of our church here in the U.S. There are almost 300 bishop vacancies in the entire world right now.
My goodness.
So think about that. So if we're thinking at home at Thibodeau that today the Holy Father is going to name us somebody, well, unfortunately, there's a whole lot of other openings around the world.
We're in
and
line.
So we are praying.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. We're in line. So, so look, we'll be fine. We're in incredibly capable hands with Father Simon Peter. We've got a good diocesan staff. We've got a great priests. I mean, we are fine. We're going to, we did fine the last time. We're going to do it again. And if nothing else, we owe it to the legacy and the memory of Bishop Dorsetville to hang in there and to support and keep this church going. And we will, and we'll be fine.
And
I'm absolutely sure of that.
I believe that because, I mean, you're living proof. You have been fine. You know, you've already weathered this storm. You know you can do it again. So the things that the Home of Thibodeau Diocese has gone through is going to make it probably one of the most toughest, resilient dioceses. Is probably in the nation, and then God bless you. Yeah. God bless the diocese of Home of Thibodeau.
Well, thank you, Dave.
Sure.
Yeah. Again, you know, from you know, COVID to Ida to losing a bishop and then losing a bishop again in the most tragic way possible. It just, you know, it's been rather unbelievable. But we're okay. I think resilience. Yeah. Yeah, that you said the magic word.
Yeah.
You know, we are resilient people. That's what Cajuns are.
That's what Cajuns are.
You know, we
are.
Have
That's
no
right.
other choice.
Well, look, I got less than
we'll
a minute.
Be fine.
I got less than a minute. Well, let's go to Living Liturgically. You got a column by Ricky and Kayla LeBlanc. Talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah, in the magazine we do have a few other columns that are not bishop and you know related, but there's a new column called Living Liturgically where we look at a young family, and this is a young family of Ricky and Kayla LeBlanc. They're from St. Anthony in Bayou Black. They got three small young children, and just a great story about how they're living their life literally liturgically. You know, what do they do going to Mass and adoration? And it just, it's a beautiful, beautiful testament, a great story of a family, you know, living their lives, you know, in the modern day Catholic Church.
It is amazing what a family can do when you stop and think about it. With all the feast days that we observe, they can be observed. You know, they could be observed. So, so each the children knowing, okay, this is the feast of Saint so and so. What are we having for dinner? Or what are we going to do? Just living that way makes all the difference in the world. I'm sure that brings the family closer to Christ. Well, Lonnie, once again, thank you for joining us. Where can we pick up this issue?
Sure, you can go to the diocese website, hcdiocese.org, and click on Bayou Catholic, or more directly, you can go straight to bayoucatholic.org and just click on Current Issue.
Fantastic. All right, Lonnie, thank you once again for joining. I'm looking forward to talking to you again.
Absolutely.
All right. When we come back, Davian's going to be talking to Alan Migliorato about a new book that he's published. It is Bottom of the Hour, You Turning Your Heart to the Truth on Wake Up.
Monday, everyone, and welcome back to Wake Up. Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, and David Dawson. With us now, our regular Monday guest, Alan Migliorato, author of a number of books, including his newest, which is entitled The Amazing Adventures of Bunny and Bear. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Happy to be back.
Hey, I might give you a new nickname. You know me, I like giving nicknames. And I used to call you Big Al, but I might have to call you Alan the Bear Migliorato. How you doing, buddy? Tell me about the book.
Why would we assume I was the bear?
Yeah, what about the bunny? But,
well, I know
he's clearly the bunny.
I know you co-wrote the book with a young lady by the name of Kathy French, I believe it is, or Katie French.
Yeah, Katie.
And
French,
I have to believe she's the bunny, so you must be the bear. But let's talk about the story first, and then we'll get into a deeper dive of how you came up with the idea and et cetera.
Right, Bunny and Bear are definitely Katie and I. So we wrote the book because, you know, we're trying to get the younger kids more involved with faith, and their families kind of more involved with faith. And it's harder and harder as time goes on. We're facing more and more obstacles with the younger generations to kind of keep them involved with their faith and keep them focused on their faith. So Katie and I are kind of known, like the kids will say, okay, what's your spirit animal? You know, one of the things we joke around with them. They're, oh, Alan's definitely a bear, and Katie's definitely a bunny. It's just kind of our personalities. Like, I don't, you know, my presence apparently is more of a bear-like. But, like, I love family. You know, you think about bears, like the mama bear, they'll take care of the family, you know, and they're very family-oriented. So there's good in that. And Katie's definitely a bunny. She's all over the place. And very happy and hoppy with everybody and, like, jumps from one thing to another. So the kids are like, oh, you guys are like a bunny and a bear. So I was like, that would be fun to write a book, a kid's book. But I didn't want to just write a kid's book, right? Because you can write a kid's book, and I illustrated it, right? So you can have, like, cartoons, and it's fun, and kids can have coloring pages. I wanted something deeper, and without them knowing it was deeper. And really, that's kind of the crux of youth ministry right there, is to dive deep without letting the kids know that you're diving deep,
mm-hmm.
right? So
yeah.
I wanted to make sure that we connected this book to Scripture. And so our goal was to choose a psalm or a verse or a scripture in the Bible, put that as, like, in the very front of the book so that parents understand, like, this is the parallel that we're drawing, and then take them through that scripture. Like, what does that scripture really look like? So we did, the very first book was The Amazing Adventures of Bunny and Bear, The Lost Sheep. And so they run into a sheep that's lost in the forest, and they're like, "Oh, do you hear that sound?" And then, I don't want to ruin it for you, but I'm going mm-hmm. to, because I have to. But it's all about Psalm 23, right?
Okay.
It's about Psalm 23 and how the sheep has lost his shepherd, and so Bunny and Bear try to help him find the shepherd, and they're like, "Well, where did you last see him?" And he says, "Well, he led me, you know, led me be down to a field, you know, and I was eating these in this green pasture. And then we were thirsty, so he took me by some still waters.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt so refreshed. My soul was refreshed. And then we went through this scary valley, but I wasn't scared because he was with me."
Uh-huh.
And so we go through the book, and you see Jesus, but he's just a silhouette in the background. right when the sheep is talking about him. And then at the very last page, of course, spoiler alert, but he appears and he's closer and he's hugging the sheep and the sheep, and Jesus really doesn't say anything, mm-hmm. right? It's the sheep who says, you know, I never want to be apart from you again. Oh, you know, wow. I don't ever let me get lost. I never want to be apart. And so without telling kids, like, you know, reading through Psalm 23, which usually hear at a funeral, but it really is so much more than that. Mm-hmm. We're trying to bring every book to a scripture, right? Or a psalm or something so that we can connect this. And parents are like, wow, I never thought of Psalm 23 like that, you know? And it's like, oh, wow, there's really more to That's scripture true. Than I think. And it gets them interested. So that was the whole idea behind, like, writing the book and getting younger families more interested. Because we're dealing with high school and middle school youth ministry and young adult ministry. And you can see the shift of the indifference that kind of comes about. And really, it's we see them once a week, you know, twice a week maybe. But really, the parents are with them all the time. So if we want to change the culture, we can't keep trying to twist the arms of the teens to change. We have to train the parents to become the first catechists, to become the first teachers of the faith at home. And until we learn to focus on family and on the parent, it just doesn't really matter what we do with teens.
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me. Well, that's where the church is going and focusing. They're trying to instill in the parents that you have a responsibility to lay that foundation. This book could That's be great. A helpful resource. I also find it interesting that you took something from the Old Testament and you brought it to life for the young people. Quite often, teens in particular, they understand the gospel, want to learn about the gospel, but kind of overlook the Old Testament. And there's a connection between the two, as we know. And I didn't also know that you were an illustrator. Congratulations on that.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, without that bridge, though, right, like Jesus just appears. If we just read the New Testament, which is awesome, Jesus just appears, and there's no context of the telling of Jesus coming. And really, Christianity is the only religion that foretells of a Savior coming, and then he shows up and saves. Mm-hmm. So everything else is just kind of mm-hmm. like somebody appears, and we talk about them, and then they're gone, and people still kind of follow what that person taught who's no longer alive. But Christianity is different. It's foretold for thousands of years, then Jesus arrives, right, dies for our sins, and then lives on. Like, there's nothing else like this, and this because there's nothing else like the truth, because there is one truth. And trying to get parents to like, wow, that really, they're talking about the shepherd, and then Jesus appears in the New Testament and says, I am the good shepherd. Oh, so everything about shepherding, this is what he's talking about, because there are bad shepherds out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
We have to know as parents how to guide our kids, you know, and talk to mm-hmm. them and not be afraid to talk to them about faith. And this book is not meant to, like, read cover to cover, put it away, and then, you know, go to bed. And it can right. be used that way, but it's meant to open a discussion. Like, wow, if you were the sheep, how would you feel? You know, and that's how I feel. And, oh, look, Jesus is in the book. That's awesome. Yeah, he really loves us, doesn't he? And with younger kids, and then you build that train, right? That,
yes. that yeah, you do it over and over again, and you try to discover something new in the book each and every time you read it. And this is not the only book. I understand this is going to be, this is one of a series that you are developing. Share with us what your intentions are down the road, or if you're already working on book number two.
Yeah, I have book number two. Book number two was actually book number one, but I really love Psalm 23, so that became book number one. The other one, the second one, is called Very Hungry, and it's just about, I'm not going to share what verse it is or what psalm it is because we haven't really connected it with that, but I have it drawn up, and I have the story, and the bear is just really hungry and frustrated, and it talks about friendship, and it talks about kind of quenching that hunger and how Jesus is only the only one that can quench that thirst and that hunger, and how we have to be patient, and it kind of teaches kids to wait. You know, that not everything is at your fingertips and not everything is on Google.
Mm-hmm. And there you go.
It just goes through and, you know, and there's obviously the bear and the bunny don't have cell phones. So that's another good thing.
Yes, they can't, they don't have the phones. They can't work it.
So, well, that's good. And so was it difficult to come up with or think like for a child versus a teen or an adult when you were putting this together?
I think like a child all the time.
That's so what happens.
Kid at heart, right?
Ask anyone. It's very not hard. No, we talk to kids all the time, and the younger the kids are, the more innocent and more open and more curious they are. And what a great time for parents to really dive into their faith. I feel that the way that we're presenting this book, The Amazing Adventures of Bunny and Bear, will actually encourage parents to kind of read more scripture and find out ways to illustrate that to their children, because scripture is alive. It's not dead, right? So is Christ. And so it's moving, it's constantly changing and having different meanings in our lives today. But there's one truth, and we have to keep bringing our kids back to that one truth.
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so these books will really open that doorway.
You bet. So The Amazing Adventures of Bunny and Bear, you can get it at AdventureCatholic.com. Get your order in now, and you could also find all other resources that are available to you to help you with your teen and more. Even book Alan for a retreat or a youth group meeting. Alan Migliorato, thank you again, and best of luck with the book.
My pleasure. God bless you guys. Have a great week.
Yes. All righty, folks. Coming up, we're going to learn all about the Cabrini movie, which is coming out. Stick around on Wake Up.
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith. Along with Damian Collado and David Dawson, our next guest is Eustace Wolfington. He is one of the executive producers of the upcoming Cabrini movie that is supposed to be debuting this Friday, March 8th. Mm. Eustace, good morning. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's so good to have you with us. This is such an anticipated movie about Mother Cabrini, and it's distributed by Angel Studios, which we are probably familiar with. Angel Studios, they release The Chosen. But take us through the Cabrini movie. This is something that we got a little preview about last weekend, but of course, we are nearing that release date.
Well, it's really a magnificent movie. It's really a masterpiece. The story of Mother Cabrini came about when a nun came into my office and said, "Will you help me do a movie on Mother Cabrini?" That was in 2011. I turned her down for 6 years. Finally, in 2018, she invited me to the Cabrini Shrine in New York, introduced me to an Italian film company. They said they were going to do the film. I saw what they were going to do, and I said, "You can't do that to Cabrini. You have to do a Gandhi movie. He was a Hindu. Didn't get in the way. She's a nun. It can't get in the way. We have to move this dynamic woman. It'll be universal. There'll be no preaching. Her life will be the sermon. And everyone, atheist, Hindu, Muslim, will fall in love with this woman." And that's exactly how it's worked out. And the film is done so beautifully. The cinematography, the acting, the music. It's just inspiring people beyond belief. They're coming in saying, "I'm so upset with the world, and I'm so fearful of the future," and they're walking out on fire, saying, "I just can't wait to get out there and make a difference in my life and make a difference in the world."
Yeah. Eustace, this is a saint that has walked in our communities. She's walked in the city of New Orleans, which we kind of got a little historical lesson on Friday with the principal over at Cabrini High School in New Orleans. But this is someone who walked in our country and has made an impact. Can you kind of give us some details, maybe kind of tease a little bit about who Mother Cabrini was?
Yeah, Mother Cabrini was an Italian nun. She did not come here until she was 39 years of age. She spent her first 39 years of life in Italy developing schools and orphanages. She had named herself Francis Xavier, and she wanted to model her life after him and go to China and become a missionary. When she went to the Pope, he told her, he said, "Look, we really need you in America." Mother Cabrini said, "The world is too small for what I want to do." The Pope said, "Well, if the world's too small for what you want to do, why don't you start in America?" And she did. She started in New York against all kinds of hardships. And then, of course, covered the whole country. She went to New Orleans, Denver, Chicago, Seattle, Los Angeles, Philadelphia.
Wow.
I mean, she covered the waterfront. But she opened up orphanages and schools. I think that I really understand Mother Cabrini. I always tell the story about her canonization in 1946, July the 7th. A woman went to that canonization who had been a school teacher for 18 years. When she left the canonization, she went back to her order on August the 18th, 1946, and resigned from her order. And so I'm going to model my life on Mother Cabrini. And that was Mother Teresa.
And
I think, oh my goodness, wow.
I only tell that story because I think it tells you who Mother Cabrini was and what she did. There was no corners of the earth she did not get to help an immigrant and bring them back to God. She worked in the coal mines in Denver. She worked in the coal mines in Pennsylvania. When they had that lynching in New Orleans, she went down there and didn't wave a lot of flags and stamp her feet. She quietly opened schools. She trained all the young Italian children to play musical instruments. She dressed them up like $1 million. And she had them walk around town playing operetta music. And she won the people over with her. And she told the Italian immigrants, you're going to become great citizens through education and through doing it on your own.
Eustace, this is. Oh, I'm sorry. This is David jumping in here. This story is so amazing. Were you challenged as far as putting it in a time frame? I mean, a couple of hours, I imagine the movie lasts, right?
We really were challenged. What we had to do is we had to really capture a whole life just in New York. We couldn't begin to capture the rest of it around the world. Her life was just so amazing.
Okay, so
she opened six.
The majority of it was in New York then, as far as the movie goes, right?
As far as the movie goes, the majority is in New York, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Beautiful.
Amazing. Eustace, you know, we're about to run out of time, but I want to make sure that we get the information out for those who want to maybe purchase their tickets wherever they're listening from. Where can they go to find out more information, not only about Mother Cabrini, but about the film as well? Because I think this is a perfect opportunity for us to maybe get to know a saint, especially during the season of Lent.
Mm-hmm. If they go to angel.com/Cabrini, it'll take them to the Cabrini movie page, and they have there's trailers about the movie. There's locations near them where they can buy tickets, and all the information is on that webpage.
Wow. Wonderful. And I can tell them thank you so much. Go ahead, Eustace.
Let them know it's a must-see movie, and they'll be so inspired when they go to it.
Wonderful.
I believe it. Thank you so much for everything that you do, Eustace Wolfington. He's one of the executive producers of the Cabrini movie. We've linked the movie link in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. That is Wake Up Monday. Eustace, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. And the Cabrini movie does release this Friday, March 8th. So you can take a look at tickets in your area and pick the one that works for you, the time, the date. Highly recommend taking a look. I want to see it.
Oh, me too.
This is something that I'm interested in for sure.
It looks really good.
It's going to be interesting since they didn't go beyond New York, see how they put all that together.
Yeah, that's true.
And she's the patron saint of immigrants and also was the first U.S. citizen to be canonized.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Interesting fact
very
there.
Cool.
All right. Well, let's close with the prayers we always do. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O God, who did preserve your servant Casimir, constant and faithful in your service amidst the delights of a court and the attractive allurements of the world, grant, we beseech you, that by the intercession your people may despise the transitory things of the world and eagerly pursue things which are eternal. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow starting day one of our Spring Pledge Drive. It runs tomorrow from 7 a.m. until 10 a.m. This is where we come to you asking for your help to keep us broadcasting on the air and continue to tune hearts to the truth. We have a wonderful lineup. Damian Collado and Father Chris Decker will host tomorrow. Dr. Mark Williams joins us at the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. Father Tad Hong from St. Jared Magella Church in Baton Rouge. Deacon Ricky Supreme from St. John of the Cross in Lacombe. Father Paul Yee from St. George in Baton Rouge. Father Jerry Martin from Holy Family in Port Allen. And Father Jason Palermo. Have a wonderful Monday and stay tuned tomorrow at 7 a.m. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.